Money FM 89.3, best of drive time. In the spotlight on Money FM 89.3.
Money FM 89.3, good afternoon. It is drive time with Elliot Danka, Timothy Goh, and Chua Tien Tien. Time now for In the Spotlight. And we are talking a little bit about India's first ever Formula E race in Hyderabad. I mean, the audience following the race from, you know, any part of the world will obviously outnumber those that are there at the race itself. You're talking millions, you know, watching it via TV or their mobile devices. Broadcasting live sporting events like Formula E, this requires broadcasting partners, right? And these partners have to be at the top of the game. You don't want to have things like latency issues, for example. And unlike most live sporting events, which are shot under relatively controlled conditions, you know, a couple of cameras, couple of angles, when you're talking about Formula E, it draws, you know, from more than 160 different camera feeds all over the track, right? And that kind of speed that the cars are going at. So let's talk a little bit about the complexity of all of this, you know, for fans to really enjoy the action. What does it take for our next guest, who happens to be the broadcasting partner for Formula E, to bring the event to audiences all over the world? Well, on the line with me right now is Daval Ponda, who is Global Head of Media and Entertainment Business for Tata Communications. Good afternoon. How are you?
Good afternoon, Elliot. Pleasure to be here.
I like this conversation, but first, let's talk about Tata Communications. You guys are a digital ecosystem enabler, and you're powering today's fastest growing digital economy. Tell us a little bit about the business model here.
Perfect. Thank you, Elliot. And good evening to all of your listeners as well. Tata Communications is a global digital ecosystem enabler. What we do, Elliot, is we help organizations go into a digital future, whether it is reaching out to their customers, working better with their employees, and also helping them get better at revenue in today's world where digital experiences are no longer unique. Almost all of us are so used to a digital life that we don't even think about it. From when we wake up in the morning to go to work, and when we come back, we look at it in the ways our kids and our grandparents sort of live their lives as well. Mm. So in today's world, being digital is no longer an option, or it's no longer an innovation that an organization can aspire to. It is something that is existential, and it is something that organizations have to embrace almost every single day of their working. So we are at the heart of it, Elliot. We're a global company. We work with majority of large enterprises, help them solve some of very tricky technology problems, but hey, we love it, and that's why we do it.
Tricky indeed. And as you dive into this digital first sort of economy, right, video content and how that has really shifted as a result of the pandemic, with that comes a different kind of expectation. It's no longer just because you're digital, I want to see likes. There's a lot of emphasis on interaction now, comments now. What are your thoughts on this?
Absolutely, Elliot. I think what happened during the pandemic was changes that would have taken probably 7, 8, 10 years. All of that happened in those 18 months. And things have leapfrogged. And you're absolutely spot on that no longer you just don't want to see a video on an iPad or an iPhone. And that's just not sufficient.
Yeah.
You want to interact with it. You want to speak with your friends about it. For example, live sports nowadays, it used to be a big thing when you could watch the same match on 3 or 4 different screens at the same time. But now, people want to watch 15 to 20 different video feeds on the same screen. Not only that, I would love to sort of chat with my friends, discuss the latest Premier League results. I would want to strategize at the same time. And those experiences are now sort of a given. Mm-hmm. I mean, and the next phase of this is going to be around augmented reality, the metaverse, the virtual reality. So these kind of experiences are here to stay.
Yeah.
And they make a genuine impact. For example, if sitting in my living room in London, I'm able to watch a live Formula One event in Australia or a live Formula E event in Hyderabad, India, and if I'm sitting on my couch, if I get a feeling that I'm at the venue and I can sense the excitement of the spectators and of the cars going around on that circuit, that's brilliant. That is amazing. And if you think about it, those are the kind of experiences that break down barriers and give people an opportunity to do things that were not easily done many years ago. And those are the kind of experiences that will become sort of almost day-to-day for the next generation, Elliot.
It's like people like the multitasking experience. They want to be a part of everything all at the same time. Although I might be the wrong audience for this because I can't even talk to my wife while watching a TV show.
You've hit the nail on the head, Elliot. And what you've described is actually true for most of us. And these are small habits, right? So, for example, people are watching something on the, let's say, on the main TV in the living room. At the same time, they are sort of interacting with their friends on the phone while there's something else going on in the background. So the multitasking experiences is actually more to do with our day-to-day habits of interacting and consuming content. And I'll give you some statistics. So on an average consumer globally is now looking at consuming, listening to more than 50 hours of content every week. And that is like more than 7 hours of content a day. And if you think back to it, that's almost like a full day's work at the office. And this does not even include the super users who would, let's say, game for 8 to 10 hours in a day and sort of those who would be sort of super users of podcasts and other experiences. So what you've described there is a fundamental shift in our day-to-day habits. Consuming content is almost like a daily habit for us. And most of us, you're right, most of us are multitasking at the same time. We're doing multiple things. And it's almost second nature to us, isn't it? We don't even think about it now when we've got three different things going on at the same time.
Now, well, it's not second nature to me. I still struggle. But I want to talk about your partnership with Formula E. I mean, this is amazing. Tell us a little bit about how this partnership came about and what does it do for the broadcast model?
So Tata Communications is sort of a leader when it comes to global sports and helping them take their content very simply to all of their audiences globally. What we do, if I were to break down for a normal spectator, would be you take a global sporting federation like Formula E. They go around the world, have about 12 or 13 races in a given calendar year, give or take. We will help them take all of the live video feed from a particular venue. Let's say, in this case, we just had Hyderabad in India, their first race in India.
Yeah.
But they go to South America, North America, parts of Europe, and so on. So we will help them take more than 150 live video feeds from a particular circuit. And this includes the main feed that all of us watch on the TV screen. Also, all the onboard camera feeds from cars, various angles. We take it to a central location in London where it is produced remotely, right? All of this is happening live. And we pick up that feed from, or those feeds from London and take it to audiences globally. More than 250 million sort of spectators, depending on the race. And all of this happens in about 400 milliseconds.
Wow.
So this is sort of like a very complex technology problem, which used to be quite difficult to solve, and it is still quite difficult to solve. But with the evolution of technology and what Tata Communications has done is we have invested a sustained investment over the last many years into cloud technologies, edge technologies, where we can get live video from any venue onto our cloud in less than 30 milliseconds, 3-0. And that's where the magic happens. Because if we are able to beat the latency of a normal human eye, where we are able to bring more than 150 live video feeds to hundreds of millions of audiences globally, regardless of where you are, you could be sitting in Singapore, I could be sitting in Mexico looking at the same live video feed. And if you and I are able to consume that high quality content that is being delivered to us from a race in a completely different part of the world, then that is something that you would consider a job well done, where people are able to consume high-quality content, but there is so much of tech behind it, but all of that is visible. Mm-hmm. And you and I are walking away feeling, oh, that's cool. They had better quality. I had many video feeds where I could interact with drivers. I could look at teams. I could understand their ranking. And that is where sort of technology plays such an important role, Elliot, and you and I get to consume more content. The sports federations are happy because they are able to reach more of their fans and spectators globally and are able to improve their global reach.
Mm. This really fascinates me. And my question may come as a bit of a surprise, but let's try it out and see how it goes. So I used to be a sports TV presenter. You can call me a dinosaur in that sense when you look at the new world now. How should people like me, who are so used to that kind of setup, how can we reinvent ourselves when you look at, you know, a space that needs to be more immersive and interactive?
See, a lot of the technology that we use today were absolutely sort of required for day-to-day jobs during the pandemic. So what happened was people just previously you could drive to work out of an office, fly somewhere, cover a news event, go back home. So during the pandemic, none of this was possible.
Yeah.
And people had to sit in their homes and embrace technology to do their day jobs. But what also happened is, it also meant that people realized that, wait a second, I can use technology to basically travel less, give a high quality sort of work, and then still have more time left, right? And I'll give you some examples. So if you are a sports producer,
okay,
and if you're working with a global sporting federation like a Formula E or Formula One, MotoGP and so on, you would typically travel about 150 to 200 days in a year. Now, when you start off, this is great. Everything is sort of, people look forward to it. But as you may also know, if you do it for 4, 5, 6, 7 years, it takes a big toll on your social life and your family life. And people end up usually leaving those jobs because it is not sustainable to keep traveling 200 days in a year.
Yeah.
But if you're able to do the same work, and in fact, a better quality of work, because you're going to, let's say, a singular office in London, a same office in Singapore, and work with your colleagues, then it is sustainable. Mm-hmm. People are able to sort of embrace it better, and people spend more time at their jobs, is what we have seen. Now, you take this, so fast forward this, right? The first thing, I think, for all of us, the technology that is required for us to do our jobs differently is actually something that we are already used to.
Yeah.
Right. So most of this is quite intuitive, and most of the organizations, including us, we want to sort of ensure that the move for users is seamless. So if you're working on a particular, let's say, console at work, the console that you'll be working would be a digital form of that, so that you feel comfortable and you don't feel that there is sort of more to it than just using the same console. Now, if you take that as an example and you take it a step further, the opportunities that people have now are also significantly more than before. And I'll give you an example. If you are in Portugal and you are a big surfing fan, surfing is massive in Portugal.
Yeah.
You may have seen videos of the biggest waves in the world,
yeah,
and so on, right? And you've always wanted to be a surfing commentator. But some of the big events happen in Brazil, South America, California. Now, in today's world, with the technology that we have access to, you can sit in Portugal and give a live sports commentary to an event that's happening in Brazil and give your personalized take on it. And so this has democratized access to jobs and opportunities for people. And that's incredible, right? You have unleashed a sort of a completely different a wave of opportunities for these upcoming sports fans who may have a day job but would love to commentate on a particular sports match that's happening in the United States. They may personally be sitting in Mexico or any part of the world and be able to sort of do that. So technology has opened new avenues of, let's say, opportunities for millions of individuals globally, and that's exciting. So we have seen where a lot of sporting events nowadays are doing a marketplace for creative talent. The talent could be sitting anywhere, and the media hotspots traditionally used to be Los Angeles, Miami, London, Amsterdam, Singapore, Hong Kong, and so on. So people had to travel to these places, get employed with an organization, and then wait for work. Nowadays, you could be situated anywhere. You could be working remotely, and you could still sort of be able to sort of give that same level of work and get those opportunities without really physically traveling there, right? So that is the change. And technology is sort of enabling all of this. And there are, there's a lot of tech behind it. There's a lot of investment into cloud, people, the way of working. Everything nowadays gets converted into software, which is quite seamless, easy to use. But the end result is that if people are getting more opportunities to work and are able to elongate their working lives or are able to add different skills because they are able to sort of do all of this from where they are, then that's a great outcome for all of us.
It's a brave new world. I've been speaking with Daval Ponda, who is Global Head of Media and Entertainment Business at Tata Communications. Daval, appreciate your time today. You take care and have a great week ahead, yeah?
Thank you. Thank you, Elliot.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.